Mix 93.8 FM, Legendary Radio.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Styles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
You're with Chris and Suzanne Styles on Mix 93.8 FM, and it's Tuesday evening. We're glad to be back.
We are indeed. Fascinating week. Loads happening, many events lined up, the launch of World Shakers History Makers.
Next week?
Next week, absolutely. We'll give you some more information about that. This past weekend was Millionaire Mind, Harv Eker's signature program. Apparently it was a spectacular event. We weren't there, as we've actually done it a couple of times. But all good on so many fronts. And yes, tonight we're dealing with, what is it, frustration?
Well, I was just thinking about some people that we know that have had a great deal of frustration recently, and also just about the absolute importance of calmness of mind. And I was just thinking, if you've got something that's frustrating you at the moment, something that's driving you completely crazy, you often hear Chris and I talking about highest energy wins. Mm. But that's not talking about being overexcited. That's about your vibration. So if you've got anything that's been frustrating you, send us an SMS on 41348. SMSs are charged at R1.50, or you can send us a tweet on at Mix938FM.
Absolutely. Let's make it a free flow show tonight. Things that are already bothering you, frustrating you, irritating you, whether it be life or business, personal, professional, bomb it through to us, and let's see if we can't actually provide you with some practical guidance on how to be able to get through those frustration barriers. Now, World Shakers History Makers, Suze, have you got the information there?
Well, what I have got actually is a breakfast that they're co-hosting in a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
So that's that one. There is a breakfast that's being put on by the SOAR Institute. It's a complimentary breakfast, and you can get more information by SMSing 37966. And the breakfast is going to be talking about learning the art and science of building exceptional teams. Mm. And what I really like is the fact that it's complimentary. And I think that means in terms of
cost. Do they say lots of good things to you?
That's what I was thinking. So either it's a free breakfast, or they're going to just say lots of lovely things to you and make you feel good all day. So that is on the 15th of October. And it's the soarinstitute.co.za. And that's in terms of flying like an eagle. S-O-A-R.
Oh, I see.
Institute.co.za.
Okay. And to come back to World Shakers History Makers, that's William Bardenhorst, Karen Murray, very
For
dear
sure.
friends of ours. Absolutely brilliant and very qualified and very efficient and effective in the world of personal development.
Absolutely. Targeting younger people from sort of matric age.
Yeah.
So traditional youth, and it's all about building you up to believe in yourself. Mm. We so often talk to you about outperforming yourself concept.
It's a great program. It's a really great program. I know William and Karen have given us a bit of insight into it, and it is very well priced, extremely well put together. And I would imagine if you Google World Shakers History Makers, you'll certainly be able to find the website and lots of information.
Also, have a look for them on Facebook. They've got a great Facebook presence, and that is World Shakers History Makers.
And I think one of their ambassadors, if I'm not mistaken, is Kayleen Murray.
That's right.
And the absolutely lovely Kayleen Murray, we had her in studio just ahead of the Miss South Africa pageant last year. And how much fun we had with her during that 30-minute interview. She really has her head screwed on. And it's wonderful to know that very together, young, successful people like that are the ambassadors for World Shakers History Makers. So as a young person moving into that space, you're going to get to rub shoulders with people who have created success and are busy creating more success.
For sure, and their launch
great initiative.
Next week, Thursday, is their launch, which is absolutely fantastic. So, you know, first of all, let's start as we always do. and that's with the half acre cards. And I'm going to get Chris to start.
Mine says get support or create a team. It says don't try to do it on your own. Find a good financial planner who can help you track and build your net worth by organizing your finances and introducing you to a variety of vehicles for saving and growing your money. Quite interesting. We've actually been dealing with a lot of financial planners lately. In fact, in a few weeks' time, we have been invited to speak to Discovery Financial Services. We're actually going to be teaching a seminar to a lot of their financial planners. And there's the card. Get a good financial planner. The thing is, you can't be everything. So decide what it is that you're going to be absolutely brilliant at, and then surround yourself with people with equally complementary skills in other areas. Let them, if they will, be part of your mastermind group, and make sure that they have your success at heart and you in turn theirs, so that there's a quid pro quo and a good balance of receive and take. Yes.
Mine says manage and train your mind. You have the natural ability to install self-empowering thoughts in your mind at any time, simply by choosing to focus on them. Yes, you do have the power to control your mind.
And that's such an important thing, and in fact very relevant for tonight, because we're going to be talking to you about as a man thinketh, or in my case woman, in her or his heart, so is he or she. And when we're talking about heart, we're talking about the subconscious mind. So we're going to be delving into that with you a little bit later. My card tonight says is be willing to do what is hard. If you are only willing to do what is easy in life, your life will be hard. But if you are willing to do what is hard, life will be easy. Boy, and don't we know that. I mean, that's an incredible card for us right now. So think about it. If you're only ever wanting to take the easy way out, the soft route, you're going to find that life is always a struggle. It's only when you're prepared to do the hard things that your life will start to become easy.
Well, the other thing is, when you're busy doing difficult things, you're being stretched. And one of the key things to remember in absolutely anything is where you are being stretched, where you don't necessarily have all the answers, that's a really good thing. Because as a result of that, you're having to rely on your imagination, your intuition, on asking other people, on basically finding the road and that you need, and that's how success is created. You know, out there at the so often you hear so many people talking about failure, and there's such paranoia around failure. Well, the fact of the matter is most people just fail their way to success, especially if they just keep going, and that's where the power of persistence comes in. So very, very important. If you're always doing the easy things, your life will be difficult, because you're actually never going to grow yourself. And one of the things that I always noticed in the corporate world, when I spent many years working in finance and retail banking, was that whenever change came in, it really was as if the tree had been shaken in a most unpleasant way. And in a lot of instances, it's because the change was long overdue and people were very much stuck in a rut. Now, the thing is, you can have too much change, and too much change can be quite destructive because you never get to land anything. But change is massively important. Change keeps an organization healthy. Change keeps you healthy. Change keeps your environment dynamic, keeps you thinking, keeps you growing. And so when difficult things come your way, step up to the plate. Get them done. Doesn't matter if you buckle a couple of times and struggle with them. The thing is, by persisting, you will find the answer. And that is why Napoleon Hill, and I absolutely love that book of his, Think and Grow Rich, he always writes about the fact that there may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but it is to success what carbon is to steel. I do love that.
Well, it is, and what I wanted to say is I remember having to do that exercise over and over again for our Thinking Into Results accreditation, and that was the exercise of writing out the Serenity chapter, which is the final chapter of James Allen's As a Man Thinketh. And it always starts, just whenever I think of the start, it just always makes me just take that big, deep breath and breathe, because it says calmness of mind is one of the most beautiful jewels of wisdom. And it's always so incredible, because right at the beginning of the book, James Allen writes, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not only embraces the whole of a man's being, but in so comprehensive as to reach out to every condition and circumstance of his life. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all of his thoughts."
Yeah, hugely powerful.
Well, think about that today. What were you thinking about today? When you were stuck in the traffic, when that person cut in front of you, when you received the phone call that you really didn't want to take, what was the sum of your thoughts? How much of your thinking was, "Oh, that bleep for cutting me up. The last person I wanted to speak to is that person." Just think of the energy related to that when I say it.
It's not very good, huh?
No, and I mean, you know, just in terms of... Now, I know I've seen a couple of Facebook posters where it says, you know, "I do not need anger management. You just need to learn how to stop peeing me off." And sometimes I think you might need the anger management.
I think that's so true of most people. The whole thing is when an unpleasant or a frustrating event happens in your life, everything that happens is there to teach us things. And the more you hold on to it, the more intense the lesson will become. Now, you know, the thing is, sometimes we desperately want to succeed at something and we don't. And then we sit there and we think, why? What on earth is it? Why didn't I succeed? And at moments like that, we've actually got to be quite careful not to go and beat ourselves up. Because the thing is, if you beat yourself up severely when you don't achieve, well, guess what? What will happen is, in order for you to learn the lesson around just being a little bit more gentle with yourself, and I do love that, be gentle with yourself, and that really goes to some of the teachings that we had in Canada with Bob Proctor, where he actually said, are you gentle with yourself? Do you really love yourself? That doesn't mean that you don't stretch yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't place yourself in an uncomfortable set of circumstances in order to continue and ensure your growth. But what it is, are you absolutely beating yourself up? Because if you do, and if you beat yourself up over failure, it's actually a very powerful message to you that there's something inside that needs to be worked on, especially at a self-concept level. Because, you know what? Let's face it, we are all human. So from time to time, you're going to screw up, you're going to mess up. You're not going to achieve what you actually thought you were going to achieve. And at that moment, you just need to release it. All that result is on that specific day is just an indication of what happened. It is merely a printout, a report card, if you will. It is not the Alpha and the Omega. And the other thing also is, failing at something is actually very positive because it creates a healthy dose of persistence. And how many times haven't we seen and met massively talented people who haven't achieved nearly what other people have in life because the people who made it huge persisted. They just kept on going. They kept on taking the steps that was required. They put one foot in front of the other, and as a result of that, they create success, which people who don't have persistence yet massive talent don't get to create. And so there's always these lessons, and whenever you're feeling that frustration or that burning feeling inside of you, and it's very, very probably linked back to anger, seeing what I call the red mist in front of you. And I know because I spent so much of my life in that space, and from time to time I still do go back into the red mist haze, and then I've got to remind myself that I'm certainly not doing myself any favors. But it's just that, you know, what is it that you need to learn? And at that moment in time, just let it go and ask yourself, well, what is it that I need to learn? Maybe you just need to learn a lesson on persistence. Maybe it's that you need to learn to be able to let go of something. Maybe you need to learn to not stew on things. But there's always a lesson. And the moment you understand what that lesson is, you can just be grateful for it. Take a step forward, pat yourself on the back in terms of growth, and move on.
Well, it's such an interesting thing, really, because this is what I love about picking up this book and just looking at certain pages, because it says, you will become as small as your controlling desire, as great as your dominant aspiration. So think about it. What is your controlling desire? What is it that is just that one thing where you cannot let go? Now just think about that. What is that one thing that you cannot let go of, that you just, every time you think, I'm over it, I'm past it, I've done this, I'm so over it, and yet every time you bring it up, even though you know you should be over it, you're not over it. What is that small thing? Because that is what's keeping you small, your controlling desire.
It's very profound.
And just think about that. You know, pick up a pen, get a piece of paper, notebook, and just jot down what are the things that you just keep on coming back to over and over again. Because this is your controlling desire. If you're trying to give up smoking, that is your controlling desire.
Well, it's also very interesting in terms of whatever happens in your life will always be around bringing you back to a state of balance. Now, we've seen this over and over and over, not only just in our lives, but in the lives and businesses of so many people who we work with. The moment there is a set of circumstances where you have moved significantly away from what is equilibrium, because everything in this universe and in nature is balanced, you're going to have circumstances or events which will happen in your life in order to restore that balance. So therefore, if you are a control freak, and it's actually quite amazing because one of the people who we actually are working very closely with at the moment is an absolute control freak in so many ways. Every single situation has to be controlled in absolute minutiae to the point where this person is actually driving themselves completely scatty. And the incredible thing is the more that they resist understanding that circumstances are getting out of their control, the more they try to control them, the more out of control everything becomes. And from the outside, it looks absolutely bizarre, and you're sitting there and you're scratching your head. But the thing is, it's not your lesson. You see, what is so important in so many things is you need to understand a lot of what is happening to people around you, people very close, businesses, etc., etc. It's not actually your circus. It's not your monkeys. It's that other person's journey. It's their lessons. And if their life in or even their business for that matter is out of balance, guess what? Things are going to go pear-shaped. And it is just because those lessons need to be learned in order to bring it back into a state of balance. And that's why it was just amazing a few weeks ago when we had Dr. John DeMartini here live in studio with us. I mean, what an absolute gentleman and such a spectacular man, brilliant brain, wonderful mind. And when he was talking and he was just teaching about the fact that in the beginning, in any relationship, and it's moonshine and roses, and it's often like that in business too. You look at all the startups. People are massively excited. They're going to set the world alight, etc. The size of the business, it's just, you know, all this great and grandiose talk, and then bang, the first blood nose comes, or the first hurdle comes. And it's because everything needs to be restored to a state of balance. That's why if you look at a balance sheet, there's profit and loss. You know, and it's this thing. Yes, you will make gains and you'll go through gains, but just look for balance. So in areas where you're feeling massively frustrated, ask yourself the question, you know, what is it that I need to learn? How do I restore the balance? And the reason I'm asking you to ask questions, or encouraging you to ask questions, is because when you do, the answers come from within. And there's nothing more powerful than actually the answers and the solutions that come from within, because they're perfect to the situation that you have at hand.
For sure. I mean, often you've heard the question, you've actually heard the statement that a question well asked is an answer almost defined. Because when you actually ask yourself that question properly, the answer is there within the way that you've asked the question. You're actually providing the solution for your challenge. And, you know, when you think of the control that you have, is it actually natural to be so completely controlled in your life? And the answer is no, because when you're holding on that tightly, what is the control that you're actually holding on to? What is unraveling around the edges that is causing you to just grab everything and hold on to it so tightly? Because we are all energy, everything's fluid, everything's motion, everything's moving. And it's such an essential thing. And I mean, just if I, and I know that we've written this out so many times, I should actually know it off the top of my head, but I'm going to read it word for word from the book. When it says calmness of mind is one of the most beautiful jewels of wisdom, it is the result of long and patient effort in self-control. Its presence is an indication of ripened experience and of a more than ordinary knowledge of the laws and operation of thought. Now, how's that? What are you controlling, or is it that you are actually gaining control of your thoughts?
Well, you see, it's very interesting, and I would love to just go back to one of the lines there, the laws and operations of thought. Now, that means that there are laws around thought, and there are. The thing is, often we suddenly have a result that appears in our life, and when that result appears, it is a result that we didn't want. And as a result of that, forgive the pun, we are massively irritated, massively frustrated, angry, and the kaleidoscope of emotions that go with the red mist. The thing is, from the time you started this process, whatever it might have been, what was the energy that you met this process with? You see, sometimes we have processes and events that come into our lives which challenge us from the get-go. So what did you do? Did you look at this as an opportunity? Or did you look at this as a massive frustration, and unknowing and unwittingly, did you possibly feed a whole lot of negative, wrong, and destructive energy and emotions into this set of circumstances? Because if you did, then at the end, when the printout or the result is not what you wanted, all that is it is just showing you what the laws and operations of your thought, not notice what I'm saying there, not thought.
Your thought.
Your thought was through that entire process. And the thing is, when we have this event, which is an unpleasant event, it's very easy to get frustrated and very easy to become the victim and to say, oh, you know, woe is me. The fact of the matter is, everything that happens in our lives is a printout of the laws and operations of your thoughts around what those circumstances were. So if you suddenly have something where the report card that you receive looks like an absolute horror story, well, I reckon if you were to take your thoughts back, or to track them back, reverse engineer, and be absolutely honest with yourself, what was the energy that you were feeding that entire process? And if it was less than acceptable, well, are you surprised? Are you really surprised that you got the result that you got? You see, we always want to go outside. We always want to blame things external to us, when in actual fact, every single thing that happens is as a result of what has been going on the inside. And it's just how it is. It's one of the toughest things to learn, to understand, and to actually embrace.
Well, also in terms of that, it's such an easy, I mean, we hear about, we use the word karma, and we use it so often in our relationships. What are we attracting? You know, oh, it'll come around, the wheel turns, and we all sort of sit there gleefully rubbing our hands waiting for this wheel to turn so that we can see karma in action. But basically, it's around your thinking, because if that's the energy you're putting into it, even though that somebody may have behaved in an absolutely appalling manner, maybe they drew some karma in your books, look at what you're feeding. Because you are sending that energy out. You are vibrating on that level. So anybody else vibrating on that level is going to be attracted to you too.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go date another guy like that. I don't want to work for another boss like that. I don't want to be with a business partner who does that to me. You focus on something and you get what it is that you focus on.
Absolutely. You know, if I have to look at certain events in my life where things went very, very, very pear-shaped, I know that right from the word go, I was not feeding it the right energy. And when that final result happens, because we're human, we blame others. We blame everything around us. Whereas in actual fact, all that final result is a printout of what was going on inside of you and what you attracted and therefore what the end result was. And it's a brutal lesson to learn, but it's a massively important lesson to learn. And if you're able to learn this lesson and understand it around smaller events in your life as opposed to something huge like, for example, a sequestration, well, then how blessed are you?
Or a business folding.
Absolutely.
Losing your possessions, losing your home. Losing, in fact, the relationships of those that are closest to you. And this is where the calmness actually comes in. And something that I've really just even realized now in terms of my situation, it says, the calm man, having learned how to govern himself, knows how to adapt himself to others, and they in turn reverence his spiritual strength and feel that they can learn of him and rely upon him. Now, how often are we not in that position where something has happened, you've had a breakup with a loved one, a partner, a husband, a wife, or you've had a spat with your parents or your children, and they just don't get you, or they're saying that you don't get them. And actually, we're not supposed to. You know, it's not their journey to understand how you feel, and it is not your journey to be able to walk a mile in their shoes. What it is for you to be accepting, but to be in control of yourself.
Absolutely, and also stop trying to fix everyone.
Well, for sure. I mean, the thing is people are not broken. People are just on their journey, and that's what you have to understand. And I've got to say, hands up, girls. I mean, here I am, many years. Oh, yeah, I can change him. I'll fix him.
You're never going to.
No, because they've got to fix themselves. So I've lined up an absolutely special song for you,
actually. In fact,
okay,
the more you try to fix me, the more you are setting yourself up for the biggest hiding. Because I don't, at that level, you're seeing something. I don't want that to be fixed. It's got to come from within. That is why when you look at the work that you do with people, stop trying to tell people what to do. And I see this a lot in the world of personal growth. And it's actually something that I have a fundamental problem with. I see a lot of coaches and speakers telling people what to do. Suggest. Because the thing is, when you just make a suggestion to people, almost acting as a tour guide, if you will, and you are allowing them through suggestions, ecological suggestions, suggestions which have nothing but their best interest at heart, you're allowing them to take their own internal tour, and that's where they're going to discover all the really great stuff. But I'm so over everybody telling other people what to do all the time. Just get over yourself. As DeMartini said, and when he said it, I could have literally leapt out of this chair and hugged him, because it's a brutal thing. When he said, stop trying to fix people, that's a message that probably goes out to 98% of the world, if not more, because everybody's trying to fix everybody else. Just stop it.
Well, also, when you try and fix somebody else, you're actually trying to impose your values upon them. And then when you feel this sense of betrayal, you don't actually know what to do with yourself. And you feel that person has betrayed your trust, betrayed your help, betrayed your love. And meanwhile, actually, you've just really, literally betrayed yourself. And that's the essential thing. So
there's a fascinating SMS that has just come through saying, please explain work, how to change the energy we put in. This rings so true. All the bad stuff I focus on does seem to happen. Well, it's very simple. Firstly, thank you. Thank you for the SMS, and thank you for your honesty. Whatever you focus on, you are going to receive. So one of the first things that goes with an understanding of how to achieve what it is that you want is awareness. Is what? awareness. That's right. It's a massively powerful word. Because when you are aware that you are focusing on what you don't want, the very next thing is to be able to change your mind to focus on what you do want. And it is exactly that. It's an exercise. You see, so much of what we want is actually just on the other side of fear, and just on the other side of effort, and just on the other side of doing the work. The thing is, most people want everything without truly being prepared to do the work. So In this beautiful book by James Allen, he talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Notice, not in his mind, in his heart. The thing is, the heart that he is referring to there is the subconscious mind. Now, that is the emotional mind, and that is the doing mind. And therefore, what is in that subconscious mind of yours is basically your programming. Now, your programming manifests itself as paradigms, and those paradigms drive behaviors. That is why sometimes when a certain trigger happens to you or a person, whether it be physical, whether it be environmental, whatever it is, but if you're triggered, you suddenly stop and think to yourself, why did I react that way? It was because that trigger brought about a subconscious paradigm which just then ran. So it completely bypassed your logical mind. And the first thing is become aware. Become aware of what it is that you want. Because when you are aware of what it is that you want, the more that you focus on it, the more you will begin to build the muscles of your mind around achieving it. And when you get a result that you don't want, instead of harping on it, you just let it go. It is a printout at that moment that what you are doing is not right. That's why results exist, and that's why results are so wonderful, is they are just telling you whether you're on track or whether you're off track. And if you're off track, then just go back to what it is that you do want and ask some powerful questions like, how do I get there? What do I have to do? Simple questions, but keep yourself moving. And this is the thing. In anything, it's got to do with energy. So right from the word go, for example, you're sitting at work and a project comes across your desk. And as you look at that project, the very first thing that happens is frustration, irritation, and all those negative emotions that go around that. Well, guaranteed, if that's how you're going to approach that project is going to be the bane of your life.
Now, when you think about that energy, how do you feel about people at work or in your business and your colleagues, people that maybe frustrate you because they make their deadlines your problem? So you already know that there is a certain amount of energy fueled between the two of you that is just not conducive towards your success.
Massively
so
important.
So you change that energy by changing how you start to think about that person. The person who massively frustrates you in the office because they are a person that absolutely thrives on short deadlines, or perhaps you're a person that thrives on a short deadline. Change that energy. Change how you are sending your thoughts towards them, and it breaks the control and the cycle between the two of you, or even a group of people.
Suzanne, massively important point that you've just made. Because the thing is, there are people who are going to frustrate you. The thing is, when they frustrate you, are you going to allow that to become an all-consuming emotion, which will then basically fuel, if you will, the cycle of frustration between you and that person till the point where literally when you clap eyes upon each other, you want to rip each other's throats out? Or are you actually going to break that cycle because you become aware of it? And actually, instead of looking for all the faults in that person, you actually begin to look for the good points.
For sure. And it's such an essential thing right now to just remember that. Break the energy. And this is in your personal life, your family, your business life, your career. Learn actually how to stop these things from staying with you.
I'm not good at all understand, but I still need love. love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, stay with me. Why am I so emotional? No, it's not a good look and some self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're
Sam Smith, and it's just an incredible thing to think about, because how often don't we want someone or something to stay with us, and we can justify every reason in the book why it should, because the thought of change is just too painful. And that's how you're keeping that negative energy, and how you're actually not breaking that cycle with that person who is driving you completely crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for the response, SMS. I'm so delighted that we were able to answer the question and really give you what I believe are valuable insights. You see, this is what it is. It's just everything that happens in our life, wherever you have a burning platform, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be money, whether it be in a job, whatever it might be, health. It's a burning platform because it's there, it's on fire, it's telling you that there's a problem. And that's why they exist. And instead of turning a blind eye to them, the moment you actually just acknowledge them and then begin to look for what it is that they are teaching you, well, then your entire life begins to change. And the thing is, when James Allen writes about the fact that calmness of mind is one of the beautiful jewels of wisdom, it really is, because a calm mind is a mind that sees something happen and then says, well, it is what it is. What is it that needs to be learned? And on the back of that, then what is it that needs to be done? Because remember, as much as there is knowing, so there is also doing. And that's why it's massively, massively important to balance what is often referred to as spirit with matter. Now, what I mean by spirit is it's knowing, and what I mean by matter is it's the actual physical, the doing. And how many people don't you know out there who know an enormous amount, or who have a problem or a challenge, and they are fortunate enough to have the information required to be able to resolve it, brought into their lives, but they do nothing about it. And it's just so stupid, because When you are blessed with knowledge or insight, put it into action. That's what we're here to do.
Well, it's so incredible because James Allen writes, how many people we know who sour their lives, who ruin all that is sweet and beautiful by explosive tempers, who destroy their poise of character and make bad blood. It is a question whether the great majority of people do not ruin their lives and mar their happiness by a lack of self-control. How many people we meet in life who are well-balanced, who have that exquisite poise which is characteristic of the finished character. And how many times didn't you hear when you were growing up, you know, it's all about character. That person has character.
Well, it's so interesting in the piece that you just read there. A few words really stuck out. Explosive temper, lack of self-control. Now, if you are a business owner, or if you are a leader, or you are someone who is in a leadership or managerial position, and you have an explosive temper, and you are not able to control your emotions, well, are you really an effective leader? Are you truly an effective manager? Have the people around you really got any respect for you, or are they merely just sitting there acknowledging your position because that is the title behind your name? Now, again, we work with many people because one of the things we do is to develop people, and we work with many businesses because another thing that we do is build businesses. And it is just incredible, but where you see a leader who has that explosive temper, who is unable to actually exercise calmness of mind, and who then acts on moments of emotional, irrational thinking, if I can put it like that. The upshot of that is such an absolute loss of respect for that person.
So if you've got any of these experiences in your life right now, anything at work, it's always our pleasure to be here on The Success Show. I mean, we're always so delighted to be part of Mix 93.8 FM. And if you've got any questions, send us an SMS on 41348. SMSs are charged at 1.50. Send us a tweet on @Mix938FM. Let's see if there's anything specific that we can help you with in the last 15, 20 minutes of the show now. Because calmness of mind. This is an exercise. The Serenity Chapter, As a Man Thinketh, is a free download. You can find it in many places on the net. But the very last chapter is the Serenity Chapter. Mm. And the most spectacular, if you're not sleeping well, if you can't switch your mind off, print that chapter out and write it every night before you go to bed. It takes about 25 minutes, depending on the size of your writing. Chris has got small writing. He gets it into about two-thirds of an A4 page. My writing's a little bit bigger, so it's about a page and four or five lines on the other side. But you write that out because as you start to write it, you start to connect with those words.
Well, it's so true, and I guess one of the things I'd like to share at this moment actually goes around calmness of mind, because it is something I struggled with terribly. I had a massively explosive temper, and I used to really get very, very, very fired up and act on emotional stimuli at an inappropriate moment. And as a result of that, I made a great number of leadership faux pas. And actually let myself and my brand down very badly, at rather inopportune moments during my career. And it was the fact that I had to learn. I had to learn how to control my mind. I had to learn how to calm my mind, and it's not easy. And you might be sitting there, and you might be thinking to yourself, goodness gracious me, you know, what do I do? How do I calm my mind? And one of the fastest ways to calm your mind is to become present. And what I mean by that is right in the moment. Because when you're looking into the future, it can be either filled with uncertainty or fear. And when you're looking into the past, it can be filled with a hell of a lot of regrets and pain and frustration. And that tends to be the way a lot of people are programmed. And the way to calm your mind is to really bring it into the present and just look at all the beautiful things around you. And look at what is good around you. And it's quite amazing how that exercise very, very quickly grounds you and centers you.
Well, for sure. And it's just such an essential thing to do, because if you're fearful, you're living in the future. If you're sad, you're living in the past. When you're living in the present, you can actually fully focus on where it is you are and where you want to be. So think about this, and I just love this when we talk about the passion and having the ability to control your thoughts. It says, yes, humanity surges with uncontrolled passion, is tumultuous with ungoverned grief, is blown about by anxiety and doubt. Only the wise man, only he whose thoughts are controlled and purified, make the winds and storms of the soul obey him.
Well, it's amazing, the winds and storms of the soul, and goodness me, the lines have just lit up. We've had a flood of SMSs come in, and I'm going to, because it's heading for 10 past 8, and I'm going to try and do my best to quickly get through them. There was one that came in which was asking about a brother who's been diagnosed with a bipolar condition. And I think the words I'm going to pick up on there are depressed by his circumstances. Look, we don't have a lot of time left. And the one thing I am not is a medical doctor. But if I can suggest something, invariably people who are very depressed, they actually are not present. And you find that they are really struggling on a number of levels because they are unable to actually look for the good in the circumstances. One of the things that you might want to help him with, if you're able to, if you have that kind of connection, would be gratitude. Because in every single set of circumstances in our life, whether they are good, bad, or indifferent, there are lessons of gratitude. The moment something happens which delivers a massive learning in your life, invariably it is around elements of gratitude. What is it that you need to be grateful for? Just a suggestion, I have found that by helping people become aware and grateful for what is going on and helping them actually begin to see the really good things. And this is actually not just writing down one or two points or one or two benefits, but actually writing down a number of benefits. I'm talking about 20, 30, 40 benefits where you suddenly begin to really see how the situation is providing you with an opportunity, not just an entire set of destructive circumstances. And it goes back to, again, what Napoleon Hill teaches, where he said every set of circumstances brings with it the equivalent opportunity. So maybe help in that regard and see if through gratitude you can't help him begin to see a lot of the good in the circumstances. And when the good begins to balance the bad, suddenly a fairly rational state of mind will hopefully begin to come through.
And if you can find that balance, if you can find that balance in a moment and just get him into a level where he can be present. Actually, Anil Gupta's book, Immediate Happiness, which is available on Amazon, is a really good book for that, because I have been very fortunate in my life that I've never suffered with depression, so I cannot completely relate to it. But I know that when I had a great deal of sadness last year, becoming present and then reading that book did help me a lot. And I hope that that helps you help your brother, or at least give him a little bit of respite, because it's a very difficult time for him as well as you and your family.
Indeed. And whatever medical advice was given, please do take it very, very, very seriously. Another SMS just shot in and said, I got told to leave a site immediately. I can only imagine it's a building site or construction site. I'm just deducing. I see people as equal. No CEO is greater than any other person. How should I balance that? Well, very interesting. Very interesting question. Yes, all people are equal. Absolutely. The thing is, we all have inside of us the same things. when you look at somebody and you are seeing something in them that is driving you scatty, know you have that inside of you too. You know, it's so easy to judge others. It's, oh, that's a nasty person or whatever. Well, guess what? Newsflash, you have nastiness inside of you too. Whatever we see in other people, we also have inside of us. And I think that's one of the most important things, is just when you can acknowledge that, you suddenly begin to be a lot more at peace with what other people do, because you actually realize in many instances it just is. Now, how should I balance that? You were told to leave sight. Whatever it is that you were doing at that moment in time did not fit with who you were. So this is actually a blessing. Can you imagine if you had stayed there, what a soul-destroying experience that might have been, especially if it carried on for months? So by actually being asked to leave the site, because obviously you in no way fitted in with what was going in there. You were the odd one out, and it was because you see people, and very proudly, as all being equal. And I think, you know, hats off to you for that. Well, in actual fact, they've done you a huge favor. They've opened your life, and they've opened you up to new opportunities where you can now go and find what it is that you want.
And also, if it's something where you actually believe that you have the opportunity to investigate further whether in fact that behavior was fair, you have to do that. Because if you don't, if, let's say, for instance, that person was completely unfair, that person was completely out of their jurisdiction, or it was against good practice in terms of being an employer and you being an employee, if you ignore it, if you walk away and you think, oh, well, you know, that's just him and I'm not going to take it any further because it's too much effort, when you go to the next place, exactly the same behavior is going to be attracted towards you. And we have some very dear friends that are employers that experience something whereby when people behaved completely unethically and in fact fraudulently or in terms of theft or things like that, they actually felt that it was just best to let them leave and go on their merry way. And the behavior of certain new staff members exacerbated that original behavior. So think of yourself, if that behavior was absolutely out of line and that person should not have behaved in that manner, then you are, of course, well within your rights to take the matter further. But take it further with the right energy. Take it further knowing that you are actually making sure that this behavior is not repeated in the future to other people. But what you have to do is absolutely realize that you must break the energy. It's okay, it's happened, it's not nice. Learn from it. If you did do something that irritated the person, you know it's something in your behavior that you need to modify, and you take it from there. But break the negative energy cycle, you will take it to your next job.
Absolutely. Well, it really has been a cracking show. I'm looking at my watch and I'm astonished. It's 8:15. I have no idea where the hour went. It just flew by. And in fact, we suddenly looked up at about 7:55, realized, oh my word, we hadn't even played a song.
Well, I have to say, I've just got to, for a few moments, tell you how excited Chris and I are about next week's show. Next week's show is just going to rock your socks off. If you've ever heard of the anti-scientist, alternative scientist, author, if you've ever watched Ancient Aliens, if you've ever watched anything around understanding more about lost civilizations,
the monoliths, the megaliths, the pyramids, his book that he is world renowned for is The Fingerprints of the Gods, and the name is
Graham Hancock.
Well, we've actually been asked to interview him. He is coming to South Africa. He'll be delivering a lecture in Cape Town, one in Johannesburg, and we were approached and asked if we would interview him, and our very wonderful producer, who's always there to support us every second of the show, will be helping us to do a Skype interview with him on Friday, and we'll be able to play it to you on next week's show. And what a cracking show that is going to be, because this guy, Graham Hancock, is just phenomenal. Very controversial, but how lovely to be able to bring some real brain food to the table. And to Cedar Woods OS, the Twitter handle, thank you so much. We really have loved tonight's show. We're so glad you have too.
Well, when you come through, or when you listen to next week's show, or if you'd like a little bit more information beforehand, go to consciousevents.co.za, and they'll be telling you on the website all about Graham's chat talk. He's going to be delivering a talk, spending a day with us, talking about as humanity stands at the crossroads and must choose between fear and love, what lessons can be learned from our past. Limited seats. I think tickets are about 1,100 rand, or if you book still tonight, 945 rand on consciousevents.co.za. You've been listening to Chris and Suzanne on The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
Tantalize your eardrums. Mix 93.8 FM, the home of legendary music.